This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. It's a long-standing tradition for presidential candidates to address the Veterans of Foreign Wars Convention in election years. And this year, the event is in North Carolina, which is an important swing state in this year's election. And that's especially appealing to the candidates because veterans regularly vote in larger numbers than the population at large. But in this election, veterans are not enthusiastic about the choice in either party. How will veterans vote in an election with two of the most unpopular candidates in recent history? WUNC military reporter Jay Price has been talking with veterans at the VFW convention and joins us now from Charlotte. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Frank. Glad to be here.
Describe the VFW. Let's just step back because VFW conventions have been important in American politics, especially in election years. Describe that for us. Give us the history.
Well, they have their annual conventions. This is the 117th one. So this is a major part of American society. I mean, it's been here for forever. It's really stitched into the fabric of America in many ways, particularly rural areas. And they've had great influence over the years. They have huge membership. Even now, they're down substantially, but they have more than 1.2 million, if you don't even count the VFW auxiliary. And they've had great influence over American politics, over American law, and the benefits the veterans get, which is their focus, of course, in Washington. They also focus on making sure that veterans are counseled in ways that to help them get those benefits. They help create the laws that create the benefits, and then they help the veterans figure out how to make sure that they're getting them.
So what are the veterans there in Charlotte telling you are the big issues that are on their minds?
Well, the VA reform, VA healthcare problems that have been kind of gone over endlessly in the media, that, of course, doesn't escape their attention. Many of them do use VA healthcare, and that's on their minds, how to reform VA, how to fix what's broken, and how to keep what's not. That's one of the big things. And you know, they also are talking a lot about sequestration, the budget caps that are in place, and they want to see a stronger, larger military than what we've got.
You spoke with Ed Hendrickson, who echoed the sentiments of the general electorate at large, it seems to me. Here's what Ed had to say.
I'm not voting for anybody. I'm voting against somebody because either one, I don't see doing a lot of greatness for us. I mean, one has a mouth that you never know what's going to come out. And the other one, you know, the whole scandal about the emails and everybody's up in arms why they keep picking on her. I have a secret clearance. If I mishandle any kind of classified material, one, I'm going to lose my job. And there's been several active duty members that have been kicked out of the military or in prison for it. And she seems to get a go-by.
That's veteran Ed Hendrickson, I should say, talking about the candidates in this year's race and his choice. I'm talking with WUNC military reporter Jay Price, who's at the VFW convention in Charlotte. How common is that kind of sort of lack of enthusiasm for either candidate among the veterans that you've spoken with, Jay?
It's pretty common. I mean, they see negatives on both sides mainly, and perhaps fewer positives. They do, you know, in many of them weren't happy about what Mr. Trump said earlier in the campaign about John McCain, who was a prisoner of war in Vietnam and was a prisoner for 5 years. And Trump said he was no war hero, said he wasn't the hero for that. He was tortured. He was kept in solitary. And that didn't play well. That didn't play well. But it seems like they're past that. They've given him a gimme on that one, and he got huge, huge applause lines this morning. The energy for him was a lot stronger. He was much better received than Hillary Clinton was yesterday. And it's not often you get to see both of those candidates, one right after the other, in front of more or less the same group of people and see how they're received, and also note the contrast in their style. There are probably two no more different candidates in recent history as far as their speaking style and the energy they bring to the speeches.
Well, one of the things they were talking about, of course, is the question of VA competence, whether or not the VA can deliver health care. And a question is whether or not it should remain a public trust, a part of a government agency, or whether the VA should be privatized. Donald Trump has hinted at that, although this morning he offered some clarity. Let's listen to Donald Trump this morning.
The veterans' health system will remain a public system because it is a public trust. But never again will we allow any veteran to suffer or die waiting for care. That means veterans will have the right to go to a VA facility or the right to see a private doctor or clinic of their choice, whatever is fastest and best for the veteran. There'll be no more five-day waits in line. If you're waiting in line, you're going to go to a private doctor across the street, a private or public hospital across the street or nearby, and you're going to be taken care of quickly and efficiently.
All right, that's Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump talking about his plans for the VA at the VFW convention in Charlotte. I'm talking with Jay Price. You said he was received more enthusiastically, though I do notice he paused for some applause lines there, that, and the applause was not forthcoming. So on this question, what are veterans saying? Did you get a sense of how they're leaning on whether or not privatization would actually improve care?
They don't want that. The VFW administration, the staff, the leadership, it constantly talks about this. Hillary and other Democrats have said that they believe the Koch brothers are funding an effort to essentially privatize the entire thing. And, you know, they view it as kind of socialized medicine in the biggest sort of form, and they want to do away with it, is the Democrats' take on it. And the VFW believes that to be true. Whether the Koch brothers have enough friends in Congress to get that done is a much bigger question. And there have been at least some vague suspicions that Donald Trump was in line with that just because he hadn't come right out and flatly said, I wouldn't privatize it. And he did that today. That was probably the only new thing that he said today.
Well, here's what Hillary Clinton had to say about it.
We are not going to privatize the VA. We are going to reform it and make it work for every single veteran in America. We will ensure access to timely, quality care, improve the coordination of care, which is, as you know, a huge problem still, improve care for women veterans who are often underserved, tackle and at long last end the epidemic of veteran suicides by expanding access to mental health care, erasing the stigma that still prevents too many from getting the help they need.
That's presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton speaking at the VFW convention in Charlotte. I'm talking with our military reporter, Jay Price. Jay, what's the take? You spoke with a Vietnam veteran, John Alexander, and his wife. We talk about the questions of how VFW and how veterans perceive what's going on in the VA and reform. I thought this was an interesting conversation that you had with John Alexander and his wife, Lois. Let's listen to a clip.
Those pills, I think it's like almost $11,000, and that's what we were told.
That's
they're very expensive. So I'm saying we are really blessed because there would be no way we would, even with the deductible from another insurance, you would have to pay in the hundreds to get that medication. You know, but we get it all free through the VA, so which is a blessing. Yeah.
I give the VA hospital 100 plus.
Those pills and that treatment they're talking about that amounts to $11,000 a year for the Alexander family that they don't have to pay is for his treatment, John's treatment for prostate cancer, leukemia, and heart disease, all of which is free care. So what's the sense of sort of the urgency and kind of whose fault it is? Is that anything people are talking about down there in terms of VA, you know, backups and all the kind of news coverage that they've had lately?
You know, there are specific issues, and when I talked to that couple, the Alexanders, they were like an infomercial for how wonderful the care they're getting is. But, you know, like many veterans who are in that system, they have very complicated cases with multiple issues. This is one of the struggles the VA has. This is one of the reasons the VA really has to work harder to be successful in treating veterans is because the cases they get are more complex often. So when they go, they don't always get exactly what they need, even the Alexanders. And I hear that again and again and again. The veterans here are very enthusiastic about the VA. They do say, yes, there are problems. Those are real problems. But they really almost consistently, when you talk with them, like VA care, think it's great, with some exceptions.
And I may have said $11,000 a year. It was actually $11,000 a month, which is what their cost would be. So do you get a sense, too? I mean, obviously, we're focusing on military affairs and the VA. If you go to a VA convention, those are important things to you. What are some of the other issues that veterans say are important to them in this election cycle and that they're looking for, apart from those that are obviously important to veterans?
Well, you can judge by some of the applause lines that weren't directly related to something that Mr. Trump said regarding veterans issues. You know, he got his biggest applause lines for saying that line about crooked Hillary again. That got whoops. And, you know, the VFW members are kind of counseled to behave themselves and be polite. And, you know, consistently, these are really, really polite, well-mannered group of folks. Just real pleasure to be around. And, you know, these speeches often incite a lot of passion. And, you know, that was a little unusual for them. And then they started the lock her up thing. But he got big applause lines with the crooked Hillary thing. He got big applause lines when he said he would suspend the flow of refugees from Syria and other places that could, he said, bring us streams of people who could start domestic terrorism issues. He got big applause for his comments that he would renegotiate trade bills like NAFTA. So, you know, that's when he pivoted to more the more general campaign issues.
All right, Jay, always a pleasure. Jay Price, our WUNC's military reporter, is in Charlotte, North Carolina for the VFW convention. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Just ahead, the story of a Hollywood screenwriter who returns to his hometown in North Carolina. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.